to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it was a big weekend of finals football, even without the AFL team playing last week, Andy.
It was, Nick. It was, I mean, there were some highs and some lows, but it was actually a really nice weekend of football overall.
Yeah, look, the AFLW team loss for me is, yeah, it's a real, I can't even begin to put it into words about how that type of loss makes me feel. But let's get to that later. Let's talk about the VFL team winning, because you were there, and even on TV it looked like awesome fun.
It was amazing fun, Nick. And full credit to the club, that they did a good job, that they that front row, lots of entrances able you could use to come in, good catering, it was a nice atmosphere, little security there, but it wasn't overbearing. It was just, and you think, it's Richmond isn't, core business isn't putting on game football games. That's what the AFL does. Richmond's core business is the putting teams in various competitions, which is slightly different, but they did a really good job, so credit of it. But Nick, I think it might have been when Nat kicked that goal, it was the biggest roar at Punt Road since the 1960s when we played that, probably. It was so much fun, and I deliberately didn't... it was like an old-school football experience, you know, no replays on the screen. You're sort of asking the people next to you who was that when it was on the far side of the ground, or something good on the far side. No real-time statistics flashing up, unless you had the app, which kind of ruined it. It was a really fun experience. And you know what? Like, statistically, like, everyone was writing stuff, but it was sort of the home team kicking with a strong breeze in the last. There was always a little chance of this comeback. It was a lot of fun riding at home. Oh, and one of the things I love, Nick, is you just knew, and I hate to say it, it's a little bit politically incorrect, but you knew that this was probably a bigger crowd than some of those VFL umpires were used to, and you knew that they were going to get intimidated about the ball cries. We on the outer were getting really, you know, in a nice way, just like calling out loud and hoping, just really riding the umpires extra hard. And you'll see the upright was quite favourable to us in the last quarter, and it was totally a hometown thing going on. So it was all... It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, look, the free kick to Nank was certainly there, but it's funny. Like, it's what 400 meters from the MCG, and yet the style of football is completely different. It's a small ground, and it's exposed on three sides, so it gets a lot of wind, and I just loved. The Nink's kick riding at home, starting out, I think, perhaps on the right-hand behind post even further, and, drifting across the goal face. And we had one of the friends of the podcast, Andrew Sloman, visiting Nink country this week, and you can see why someone who grows up on the mouth of a ocean river probably played with wind a bit before.
Yeah, good point. Actually, I hadn't thought of that, but he played it perfectly. Like, I love it from my angle, it looked pretty good, but I love on the TV, it does look like it's going out of bounds when it first goes. And you know, Nick, it was funny. I rewatched the highlights on the Richmond website, and I deliberately haven't watched the full game because I wanted to keep my impressions of the game how you used to see games before we had replays.
So you watched it on the winners?
read the truth or whatever you still might have hit the games. But the roar was so loud around, it felt, on the outer, just there's this deep guttural roar go up when the goal went through. But when you watch it on the TV, it's just this sort of, yay. It's amazing how the sound of a few hundred of your closest friends getting excited about the match-winning goal sounds different when you're in it. Anyway, it was good fun, and it was a great bit of theatre by increasing the legend that is the legend of Toby Nanker versus Richmond.
And, well, so you were there... the facilities were good. In many ways, like if you had to say what would be Andy's ideal game as a spectator, a game where we played. You know, effectively three ruckmen, and they all made the best. Was this your dream game?
It was, and the ruckmen were incredibly influential, as you say, really influential, and kicked the winning goal. It sort of was, and we beat Essendon, a team which it was, you know, one of the ones that tortured us when we were young. And look, frankly, I don't like them very much. Also, to their credit, the Essendon supporters were very nice on the day. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty much my ideal game. It was an awesome lot of fun. But Nick, we should analyse the game properly. The funny thing, the irony of the game was, I can't remember, was it halftime or three-quarter time, but, you know, sort of muttering amongst ourselves how both Nank and Pickett had done extremely little. And then they both came home, did some incredible things. But Nick, the player that really stood out to me, whose game I loved, and it was clunking them in windy conditions, was CCJ.
Mm. Well, we've been on the CCJ bandwagon for a while, but yeah, he's almost a triple double of disposals, marks, and goals, like that. And tackles, sorry, not goals. I think I've been really pleased with how he's tracking for a while. But sort of for guys who haven't seen him, is there an easy comparison that comes to mind?
Probably McAvoy.
Mm.
I think the fundamental thing about him that's that works that really impressed me was he just, because the ball was moving around and he was always either clunking us or getting his hands to us. And so the problem with, basically, I mean, one thing we should remember from the game is the Essendon VFL ruck appears to have been put on earth to get guys promoted to the seniors.
He's 19.
So the problem, you could say, with our current choices of rucks is that all of them are far better ruckmen playing in the ruck than they are as forwards. Whereas CCJ is the only one who marks like a true forward.
Mm.
He might not have the jets of a true forward, but, you know, you can see him being a competent, being actually quite scary to team. You know, you can see him playing against a 192-centimetre guy and really giving him fits.
Yeah, he high points the ball at 200 centimetres. Like, that's...
Perfect.
Yeah, that's... the McAvoy comparison is a good one because, you know, he's got a big work rate. There are different ends of their career, but CCJ is more athletic right now. Maybe with age and weight, he looks more like McAvoy. But yeah, he's tracking really well.
The other thing that's exciting about him is he's like a puppy with really big paws.
He
looks like he can take more weight.
Yeah, which is great. Maybe a child was our most productive tall forward, other than four goals from Dan Butler. How did he look?
He looked very sprightly. You know, I've got takes on his two-year contract, made more sense to just give one, or if someone else wanted to trade him. But I have to say, that was before the game, and I still think it, but I was... I'm not a huge Marbia fanboy for all his attributes. He looks really sprightly and good in the weekend.
Mm.
Just jumping well, around the ground, working hard. You know, if there weren't two other ruckmen looking great that day, he'd almost be a lock to get playing this week.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Nate, the last one, I mean, for the first half, he was just plodding, not jumping... moving slowly, looking very unathletic, and then in the last quarter, well, we all know what he did.
Yeah. So, yeah, Well, we'll say Pickett for a little bit, but Jack Ross actually was up and about when the rest of the team was under the pump and then probably faded a bit. Did you enjoy his work?
Well, lucky was it. I mean, he didn't, what was it, 21 touches?
Yeah.
He just, that was the problem, but he looks like an AFL player, like an AFL bid. He does actually stand out at AFL level, more than probably anyone else up there.
Mm. Mentioned Dan Butler. He looked like he was doing very Dan Butler things.
I thought he was great. The case for him taking Bolton's spot, I think, is there, because he was everywhere. He was working really hard. He kicked those nice goals.
Mm.
I was super impressed by his game.
He's definitely on the plane to Brisbane. You mentioned him before, but I actually wonder if how that Marlon Pickett mark in the third quarter looked live, because I had to watch it on replay a couple of times to work out how it happened.
The mark?
Yeah.
Well, have you worked it out other than he's just really good at football?
Well, it was stupid, crazy, brave, because he almost got in... Colin Jones's way.
What do you mean almost? You clearly got Colin Jones's way. I don't think it was his ball. I think it was CCJ's. But, if you're going to do something crazy brave, pull it off. And he did.
Yeah, and he kicked the goal. It was pretty amazing. He's a real Rolls Royce footballer. I was Dinner made some comments that it was unlikely he was going to play finals. I think he'd sort of if we had a rash of injuries, I think he'd certainly get a game. But
it's hard though, because he presumably he gets picked after Butler and Ross and.
Mm.
You're sort of thinking, well, do you pick him or K-Mac? Because K-Mac wasn't inspirational on the weekend.
Mm.
Well, unfortunately, because he's not getting another game this week, so that was the one downside of beating Essendon this week. Like, who's he going to play in front of that's in the VFL? It's hard to
imagine. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, but look, he's been contracted for another year. And Dimmer was very optimistic about what an AFL preseason would do for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He can definitely ball.
We were pretty big favourites for this game, so part of the reason why it was close, Paddy Nash's has just had a monster year in the VFL and might win the Western medal. He was down, unfortunately, ditto for Mavuela, so I think there's Fraser Turner and Townsend,
Townsend was a good point, and Cam McIntosh.
Yeah, and Corey Dawkins, and even Luke English. So there was a lot of sort of both older and younger players down in their normal output. And look, finals footy is tough, and it's not going to be any. The next finals at Port Melbourne.
Nick, can you give me a reason not to be worried about RCD?
Look, the highlights are good. Like the Dimmer's talked about looking forward to playing him. He's been in emergency a couple of times, which, as you know, leads to senior football. I think the season's been long for him, for a guy whose fitness base. Wasn't great, but yeah, it's definitely a concern.
Yeah, I mean, can you think, and I ask this openly, I'm not leading by it, but what might me feel better is like sort of finding an AFL mid who was in his first year in the VFL only able, consistently getting sub 10 possessions. I don't know what he'll finish averaging for the year, but he'll probably be only about 10.
His average will be 15 for the season.
You reckon? After 7 today?
Well, it was 16 a month ago, so...
His average was 16, was it?
Yeah. Okay. Let me look.
He's going to be 16 because he's barely got ever got 20. He seems he's been in the low teens an awful lot. This is a point for another time, but I'm certainly worried about his winning ability.
15.
But after, does that count last week?
Yep.
Not as bad as I expected.
God bless the VFL app.
It wouldn't count last week because that would be regular season, wouldn't it?
No.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's still the whole season. It's still worryingly low because of the positions in the VFL is not turning to the AFL midfielder.
No, definitely a concern. Anyone else from the VFL?
No, that was the one negative. But yeah, it was a really fun game. I enjoyed it. And yeah, it was that point about, you know, Towner didn't have a great game, and we know he's a great VFL player, so it gives you hope that they'll have more next week.
Mm. So you mentioned about the highs and lows of finals football. So the VFLW team went down to the Bulldogs. You know, they went in that.
As soon as I saw the scoreline, I thought of him.
Yeah.
The other team kicking six goals straight.
The other team kicking six goals straight. We kicked 4-7. We were one inside 50 shy of doubling the number of inside 50s they had. In the last quarter alone, they didn't score. And we kicked 5 behinds in a row. Like, oh my God. And, you know, these were, you know, our best play, like almost all AFLW players kicking for goal, like Courtney Wakefield and Katie Brennan having a late shot. Oh, it's just, yeah. Look, the big picture takeaway is as it was last week of a team that's had a really good year of a developing squad that's come together. But God, you hate to lose finals like that.
Like our finals, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have Monique Conti, so, you know, again, the challenge of playing, you know, pretty star-heavy lineup. You know, we've traded the first pick in the draft from not Monique Conti, which is because she's a 19-year-old All-Australian, but yeah, I think there's definite reason to be considerably optimal from it. You know, players like Grace Egan stepped up, Kate Dempsey, like these have been with the VFL team for a while. Courtney Wakefield was really good up forward, and Sabrina Fredericks worked into the season and is in much better form at the end rather than the start. So yeah, there's a fair bit to take away. We found a ruckman, we've got two ruckman who are pretty good. Oh, but oh my God. Yeah. If Brisbane don't miss any goals on the weekend, I feel quite triggered by this whole situation.
Yeah, fair enough. But as you say, at the end of the day, it's still the VFL, the women's VFL match, so it was good that they came.
Played well against a good team. You know, they're not allowed to have any more than 14 of the AFLW players, so it's a pretty fluid squad that they play each game, which makes it tough on continuity, even tougher for a new team. But yeah, they've played the Southern Stars and the Bulldogs really tight the last 2 weeks, and they've won one and lost one, and yeah. It was really good precursor to the AFLW season. There's a draft coming up, which I'm quite looking forward to doing a little bit of research on, although it is weirdly complicated in ways that only the AFL could make. But yeah, actually I just wish they'd get on and announce the schedule and announce where they're playing games, which you wouldn't think was too much to ask.
Yeah, indeed. It is really strange that the way they can't do that, because I'm quite keen to see the first game. I'd like to know where and when it is. But by the way, you know, my experience at Punt Road, I don't think they should. I know they think it's too small.
Yeah, it's too small.
You know, just wait and see. Wait and see. I'm all for games at Vic Park. You know, sell out crowds, fun suburban grounds. I can walk there from my house. All sorts of advantages. I was just looking up the Wiley-Collier Dolphin stats. My God, the VFL app's good. It's better than the AFL one.
Surprisingly so. On the Punt Road, if you look at the Collingwood's experience on crowds, even when their team was hopeless and on the bottom of the ladder, Punt Road's too small, unfortunately. So before we get to the Lions, I wanted to pay tribute to Matty D, who announced his retirement this week. Look, all AFL careers are unique. He's started with Francis Jackson hiding in a tree to disguise his interest in him, because he was a national title winning basketball player with Vic Metro. He was primarily a basketballer rather than a footballer. He sort of focused on football. Had a decent career. Was argued about on this podcast about why we didn't play him on, why we played him on taller forwards rather than smaller forwards. Went over to Essendon during the supplement scandal. He's one of a number of players who took advantage of the opportunity and stayed on. I think if there's a guy who holds on a year or two longer than you probably expect, there's a good chance that he's a really good bloke and they like having him around the club. And I think Matty D is very squarely in that camp.
I might have this wrong, but I heard that sort of Essendon asked him to stay on because he was pretty keen to move on to the next stage of his career. Which I won't say for his privacy, but it's a very stand-up kind of thing to do. And I may have misheard that, but I was under the impression that actually, because of that reason, that they were keen to keep him around as a sort of steadying influence in the AFL. Ironically, a bit like the guy who Richmond preferred over him, Steve Morris. I think the basic premise that he's a good bloke is very true. By the way, just to his credit, he may have the best set of pipes in the VFL. He's a stacked young, man.
Good times.
Yeah, anyway, good luck to him. And, you know, actually, when you think about it, well, he was picked in the 40s?
Yep, third round draft pick. Yeah, and he's had a 9-year career as a third round draft pick. That's a pretty good effort.
It was a very third round-ish career, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, look, and I liked him when he was a Richmond supporter, and I didn't hate him when he was an Essendon player. So that's unusual.
Exactly. Good luck to him.
Yeah. So the Lions. You've had a week to think about it. How do you feel about the game?
Well, I think I hinted this last week. I'm already really worried.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm worried is that I think it's very hard to win like we did at the MCG. We won comprehensively, they were just so statistically dominant around the clearances. They won the inside 50s.
They only just
won the inside 50s, but then you take into account it's their home game now. The weather's going to be warmer. So thank God, goodness, it's at night, because it's not like when he's at Brisbane earlier this week. all that stuff has talked me into being really worried, because that's what we do, we worry too much.
Well, that is definitely true. Look, we've, you know, I think we are very much on the same page, you know, got enormous respect for Brisbane. They really helped me win some money in footy tipping this year by being on them early. We saw how good the midfield is. I think both teams would come away encouraged and have learnt a fair bit from the game, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, there'll be reactions to the game from last time, but how coaches react to the reactions. Like, I think there will be a bit of chess game going on, like how, you know, Jack Riewoldt on Marcus Adams is clearly a matchup that we like and want. So, you know, how do we get that? Because I thought Darcy Gardner did a better, well, obviously, because Jack didn't kick 16 goals, but Darcy Gardner was more effective on him. That, you know, we can't let, as ineffective as his disposal sometimes was, we can't let Lachie Neale have that much ball, and actually a lot of their midfielders were well above their normal season averages. And if McCluggage gets 28 disposals, like he's pretty Rolls Royce at 23. Like he made the All-Australian squad at 23 disposals a game. Like, yeah, he's a really damaging footballer. So
yeah, admittedly he's a teammate, but Mitch Robinson wrote a really good article this week about wingmen and pointed out that McCluggage is a great one. By the way, completely convincing case. The idea that, you only need to watch Cochin play, and I know Cochin's not quite in his prime, but you only need to watch Cochin play in the forward pocket to remember, oh yeah, midfielders are midfielders and midfielders. They're not wingmen, and they're not necessarily forward pockets.
Except for Dusty.
Yeah, but people know that. Like, Dusty is a hybrid mid-forward. You know, and that you'd pick Dusty on the half-forward flank. Like, unless you actually can specifically say that, you know, they move forward a lot and play that position a lot, they don't play that position anyway. And McCluggage is a really good wingman and will give us trouble. And this, by the way, is a flip side of why Brando is valuable and why someone will give him a shed ton of money. We'll probably be okay with it. He plays a position.
A
unique position.
Yeah, I reckon Brando getting a $2 million contract is feasible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, if McCluggage is the silk, Lachie Neale the accumulator, Mitch Robinson and Jared Lyons, you know, get an awful lot of tackles, so they're providing some grunt. Not without skill either. Both Jared Berry and Zach Bailey, young kids who I both really liked in the draft, both hard at it, give a bit of a spark. So they've got some depth in the midfield. I wasn't hugely impressed with their forward line, and maybe that's because they lost badly on the day, but you know, they're going to have to play better. And in some ways, you know, because one of my obsessions is also ground size, in some ways it will be a bit of a repeat. The Gabba is the closest to the MCG. It's a little bit smaller, but just a little bit. It's broadly speaking the closest ground to the MCG. So, you know, there'll be some space for people to run into. I think a key matchup is whether or not Nathan Broad can hold up against their tall forwards, so Dylan Grimes can play small rather than having to play tall. And yeah, he was okay with that. Like, Brisbane's small forward, tall forwards weren't particularly dangerous.
Yes, yeah, I agree. But Nick, if Okay, so you can relate a bit to an umpire. How nervous are you going to be first time as a 50-50 contest between Charlie Cameron and Dylan Grimes?
The dark hand of the Brisbane media department certainly spreading its tentacles across the galaxy. They are better umpires. Like they have a rating system, and the better umpires play in the finals, and the best umpires play in the grand finals. Which is not to say they're not human; they don't make mistakes. You know, the crowd will be sell out. Crowd will be fired up.
Which will be one third Richmond.
Which will be one.
And the feral third.
I reckon they'll be pretty pumped up. It's been a long time between drinks.
That's true. I really hope that Richmond fans turn up angry and noisy.
Yeah, and you could make a snide remark about Brisbane fans turning up and getting confused that Lynch is in the goal square for Richmond rather than Brisbane.
Or you could make a point that maybe the umpires will be less intimidated by the fans when they've been called referee. I'm going to lose my mind if Charlie Cameron gets a soft free kick.
Hipwood's still dangerous, right? McStay, solid rather than great. So the sort of the Nathan Broad McStay matchup is sort of very like for like. So if we can avoid him being annoying, Hipwood's a talent, and he plays in bursts. So he's a risk.
He did. I know. So you know, you may thank me later for this brilliant insight, but live I was impressed by Hipwood. I know he didn't dominate the game, but he did some stuff where I went, that was a very good mark.
Yep. Yeah, he's a big skinny boy who's a really good athlete. He's gonna cause us some trouble.
You would love his kicking for goal if he played for Richmond.
Yeah, if he played for Richmond, he'd just completely, he'd be there at training, standing next to George, saying, "No, you've been doing it all wrong. Do it the way I do, the way it looks like a golf swing that's going random."
Now, just as a quick segue, you might have seen the Legends match, Nick, where Richmond's the shot after that.
Yeah.
It was obviously set up. And a lot of people say it reckons he did it deliberately.
Yeah.
I reckon it was. I don't reckon you can ball drop like that, like that deliberately. If it'd done it in a slightly different way, yes, maybe. But I reckon he just genuinely missed it. And I reckon I've seen Richard miss shots like that, plenty of shots like that for goal before.
God bless. I don't think Tom Lynch. Speaking of Tom Lynch. I don't think he's going to win the game for us. I have an enormous amount of respect for Harris Andrews. So, yeah, it's going to have to be other players. Look, in the game last time, none of the small forwards really made much of an impact. They got very little out of Cameron, McCarthy and Cox. Bolton... and Rioli didn't do that much for us. I mean, Costagna was pretty good. So I think, if any, with the team that gets more out of their small forwards, that's definitely going to be a thing. I don't think we'll see Cochin in the forward line very much. I think that was a way of nursing him through a return game. And I think particularly in the third quarter.
I think you just got to put the brick on the accelerator, let him go full pelt. The hammy goes. See you in 2020. But you can't play at 85% in the final.
Yeah. And Jack Ross is fit. And able to come in if needed. Like, he's certainly no replacement, but there's somebody who can play the position. So Yeah, I think as you say, you just gotta go for it. I think selection's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Look, just before we go, I just want to quickly thank all the people, really nice people that spoke to before and after the VFL game. It was great to catch up with people like Ando and Daniel Flitton, who are titans of the Richmond Twitterverse, and many others, Caesar, who writes fantastic reports on Punt Right In. Anyway, but yes, back to selection. I don't know, Nick. Which Ruckman would you pick?
I just think you have to go with the guy who is most productive. Like we've had a month of five disposals a game from Chol and Bolter, and Nink's just the best footballer. Like the position fits awkward, but you know, he plays pretty well in big games. He's not completely hopeless as a forward. The big O was a problem at times, and having somebody who can put another big body on him doesn't hurt. I just think, just play the two guys who are in form. Like Chol had a good game as well. Bolter was out with a corky, but
okay, I have a contrarian opinion.
Yeah.
Anti, where you're coming from.
I'm taking you know, Soldo's position, and he's played so well. Anti-Nink positions are a very controversial corner for this podcast.
Oh, my son of Richmond plays. Not a hill I particularly like, he belted the crap out of a tired 19-year-old ruck who had spent most of the day being beat up by CCJ and Chol.
Yeah, he played against three different dudes. Three different 200-centimetre dudes, yeah.
It was a really crap day for the Essendon ruck. I know he put the pedal down the last, but I just... You've got to take people on their whole game performance, and I just think on a whole game, CCJ showed more. And I know that's a huge call to pick. It's second game, correct?
Second game. I think he's too.
Second game.
I think he's just too gangly and small for this. I'm hugely pro CCJ, and his time will come. But yeah.
Well, we'll agree to this.
Fortune
favours the brave.
All right. So, do you think we'll win?
Yes, I do, but I'm still really nervous.
Because
I just think that the MCG size at night, the weather will be a big factor. So if Cochin does ping his hemi, that will really hurt us, because you don't want to be one down the rotations. They're extremely good team. They're well coached. They've had a look at what they do. But I also think they haven't played that much good footy. They've played some good footy, but it's not a long enough thing to be considered a rock-solid trend against really good teams. I just think... And you've got to go back to how have we been playing. We have been playing superb football.
All right, well, I'm past the point of... As is normal, I'm past the point of rational thought. So, yeah, I'm catatonic with fear. Whatever happens, I think we're back at the MCG... Either the week after or the week after that. Yeah, it's going to be huge. I'm looking forward to it. I love playing finals footy and kind of hate it all at the same time. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
Red Richmond Tiger Talk.
Rants. It's never not going to go. Martin, three votes.